Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 709 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. What did I just say to you off the air, John? I said, I just don't want to do any of this stuff.
I know.
I'm sitting here looking at the time. So we've, on Friday, we did all the Sanger stuff, okay? And then yesterday and today, we've done so much talking about Charlie Kirk and the First Amendment and all this. And I just wanted to take a break today and not do anything related to any of that. Come back to it more tomorrow, I'm sure. But I even have clips cut of the press conference that the prosecutor did and all that. And let's do something else for a day. You know, we've done a lot of stuff on this. I just a lot of times feel that way that, that's enough. That's enough of that. Okay, so what else could we do here? I haven't listened to that. You know what?
What?
This is completely different. It's not even like news. It's just, I think it's really interesting. You ready? You ready for something that's not news, that's interesting? The Intercoastal Waterway.
Okay. Andrew, please elaborate.
Yeah, I know. You're like, what is wrong with you? We go boating now. We bought a little inflatable dinghy, basically. It's a 12-foot with a trolling motor.
It's so cute and small.
It's so perfect for you, Andrew, to have a trolling motor. Anyway, no. my wife is great at finding these different places to go. You know, we're three knots. I mean, we're so slow. It's paddle boarding without having to paddle. That's what it is, which is kind of nice, you know? But we went on the Intercoastal the other day, and we had dolphins swimming next to us, and I was surprised because I didn't expect to see dolphins up in that far off of the, main.
Because they weren't playing a football game,
yeah,
I'll tell you that much.
Well, that's true. Different dolphins, but I like that joke because you're a fan. You can say that. We got buzzed by an airplane on the Intercoastal. Like a seaplane came right down at like 20. It looked like it was about 10 feet off the water. And then it got near us and kind of pulled up. My wife's like, why don't you aim us toward the side because there's a plane coming. And I'm thinking, we're by Eglin. I'm thinking, oh, planes are coming. Cool. And I'm like, oh, let's get over.
Yeah, let's.
Because I assume he sees us, but let's not depend on it, you know?
Yeah.
So for whatever reason, this got me curious about the Intercoastal. And even when I was talking with you about it, John, at the time, you also had not really had a lot of knowledge. So for those of you who don't know, the Intercoastal is this waterway. Think of it as a canal, but it's not a canal with like locks. It's just this connecting waterway. And of course, if you're boaters, you know exactly what the Intercoastal is. But if you don't, it's kind of an amazing story. And I know I didn't know the history of it, so I'm just going to share with you because I found it fascinating. Way, way, way back in like 1808, the first government report came out on the possible and likely ways of enhancing water travel in the United States. And you had a guy named Treasury Secretary Albert Gallatin who came up with an overall plan for transportation of national importance, including inland and east-west and north-south, and a waterway that would be not in the Atlantic, not in the Gulf, but would run that course, basically, and would travel. And it was mostly meant to be in the northeast back at the time, but that would travel kind of all the way around. Well, the War of 1812 proved that it was going to be useful for us to have the ability to travel and transport things without having to go out into the ocean, because with the blockade and the British controlling it, you know, if we had some other way that would be secure from weather, would be secure from foreign adversaries. And so Gallatin came up with this idea that for $20 million, the cool price of $20 million in 1808, over the, 10 years, we could basically build a waterway that would go all the way from Boston to Galveston. Did you know the Intercoastal goes from, some people call it it's actually Intracoastal is the technical name. I remember telling you this first time, so you can't wuss out on me, John. Did you have any idea that the Intracoastal went all the way from Boston to Galveston, Texas?
Had no idea.
3,000 miles. 3,000 miles of connecting waterways. Yeah, you know, the Army Corps of Engineers. Oh, we'll do that.
Just right through.
Yeah. Just, and again, it's not, I think, as much used now as maybe it was at one time for, you know, transportation, but it is still used. And it's an 1824 General Survey Act, gave them the permission to do it. So, and it, they really started the next year. So actually, it's the 100-year anniversary, okay, this year, which is kind of interesting, or in the vicinity anyway. There's a 1824 date, there's an 1826 date, but anyway. The River and Harbors Appropriations Act of 1882 and 1884 gave their intent. But here's where I thought it was interesting. The original purpose of the Intracoastal in part was, again, safe transportation, not vulnerable to the weather, not vulnerable to enemies, as an alternative to railroads, because railroads were becoming so dominant in transportation and, you know, transporting things across the country was so important that they wanted something to combat the kind of monopoly power that railroads had. And so part of the rule with the Intracoastal is you can't charge a fee for using it. There'd be no cost. It would be free as an alternative to fight back against the monopoly power of the railroad at the time. Having it at 1890, the Sherman Antitrust Act, the federal government used it. You know, I mean, that's been used quite a lot. But anyway, also you had the development of diesel and fuels that these basically the engine-driven boats could use in order to travel long distances, because before that you didn't really have that. I mean, coal is not that great of a source of power for a boat. The Panama Canal Act was in 1911. Part of the law prohibited railroads from owning, controlling, or operating a water carrier through the canal, and led to successive legislation that eliminated monopoly transportation modes by railroads. World War One demonstrated the value. World War Two demonstrated the value. That, you know, they built it after World War One in 1925, and then it was of great value in World War Two. So anyway, I was amazed. I did not know it was so big. I did not know any of the history, and I thought it was fascinating because it's just this. When you're on it, it's just, you know, it looks like you're on this very straight river with a pretty good, actually a pretty good current when we were on it. I was surprised by that. But anyway, questions, you can text me. I'm not an expert, but I thought it was fascinating.
I'm seeing Road Trip. We need to test this theory, son.
What, to take it from Galveston all the way
yes,
up to Boston?
Yes, we need to. I really do think so. But not in your little dinghy thing.
Not at three, 2.5 knots.
No. I'm talking about a real boat.
Oh, okay. So this is completely unrelated, but I just have to share. We watched the show Unexplained, I think, with Dan Aykroyd, and it's all these like weird things you don't realize are true out there in the world. There's this religious group that does a 3,000-mile run. It's like two marathons a day for 50 days, but they do it around the same rectangular block in New York. So they're literally running 3,000 miles around this half a mile distance or whatever, a mile distance. And what I think is, I mean, if you're going to do a marathon, at least run to Seattle or something.
Yeah, do. I mean, see new scenery.
People are weird, though. All right, it got me thinking about that, the 3,000-mile journey and not being slow like my boat is. All right, John Pickens has traffic on the sevens.
All right.
On the fives plus two.
Yep, there you go. All right, so if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, I'm starting to see some congestion delays. Also, let's see here. Well, you know what? That's about it right now. Wow. Okay. I'm good with that. I'm John Pickens with the traffic on the fives.
Oh, people are giving me all kinds of boating tips now.
I can only imagine.
You should take your boat out on Bayou Grande and watch the Blues, the Dolphins. It's very nice. We have, actually. My wife surprised me. She didn't tell me she was doing this, but she coordinated it. So when we went out there, we'd be coming back around the times when Blues are getting, you know, coming home for Circle and Arrival. Or not Circle and Arrival, but for coming home from the Sunday. So
you didn't know that?
It didn't connect in my brain. No, she surprised me. It was a good surprise. All right, where was I at here on all this? Torgerson Consulting. If you need help with your benefits, you need help with your insurance and health, dental, vision, life, disability, HR, payroll, all of that kind of stuff. Torgerson Consulting can help with that. They went through a name change recently. It used to be Torgerson Causey. Okay, so new name. Don't be surprised. Same great people. For us here at News Radio in Cat Country, for about 4.5 years, they provided us our medical benefits, health benefits. And look, they're not miracle workers. They don't make amazing plans. What they'll do is they'll go out to the marketplace and find the best ones available and what works for us and gives us choices also, which I like. We did not have that before. And great customer service. So, you know, I had somebody say, oh, you love your health insurance. No, health insurance sucks in the United States.
Yes.
But I have confidence that Torgerson Consulting has found the best one, you know, that's available. And so I really appreciate that. 433-9996, if you want to give them a call and find out how they might be able to help you or your employees, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Saturday, September 27th, come to the grand opening land sale at the Ranches at Creekside Preserve and get your gorgeous 20 to 50 acre estate in desirable Baldwin County on sale from only $139.9. That's right. Get 20 to 50 acres in Baldwin County from just $139.9 with excellent financing available. Ranches at Creekside Preserve features private large acreage tracts with beautiful woodlands, rolling meadows, and a peaceful creek, all surrounded by pristine natural beauty and abundant wildlife. It's your opportunity to live in Baldwin County, Alabama, one of the fastest growing coastal counties in the U.S. due to low taxes and a low cost of living. Don't miss out. Come to the grand opening land sale at the Ranches at Creekside Preserve and get your gorgeous 20 to 50 acre estate in desirable Baldwin County on sale from only $139.9. Call 877-888-1415 or go to creeksidepreserveal.com. That's creeksidepreserveal.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you ever pray for spiritual and mental strength? Paul's prayer for the Ephesian believers was a prayer to strengthen their inner man. Let's pray his prayer right now and ask God to strengthen us in the same way. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, according to the riches of your glory, please allow us to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Father, thank you in advance for how you will strengthen our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at David's Catfish House. David's Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
So remember, only you can prevent forest fires.
He said that.
Here's the secret, folks, of where to win the biggest sweepstakes prize of all time.
American families, join us.
Tim Blakely and Rebecca Wright won millions of dollars. Now you can win $10 million, only from American Family. No other sweepstakes with a prize this big. I will personally award this giant cash fortune. Be sure to enter the sweepstakes with my picture.
Well, except there's one problem.
Ruh-roh.
The problem is that the Publishers Clearing House is declaring bankruptcy. And guess what that means for all the people who won the lifetime awards?
I ain't getting paid.
No, no. Some guy named John Wiley tells CNN affiliate KGW of Bellingham, Washington, he had been promised $5,000 a week for life, and now he's looking for a new job.
Oh.
Because he made plans.
Well, yeah.
You know, he hasn't worked for more than 10 years, so his resume is a little thin.
Oh, it's a little rusty.
Can you explain this gap? I won a Publishers Clearing House sweepstakes, and Ed McMahon didn't keep up his end of the deal. He is currently living on the proceeds of sales of some of his prized possessions, like a jet ski and a trailer. So he's doing Facebook Marketplace to stay alive, selling off the inventory.
Well,
He had no idea the company was even in trouble until his annual check for $260,000 didn't show up suddenly in January.
Oh. And it's September.
Yeah. So, wow, there's that. I think of all these people where, you know, they show up with the giant checks and they told them what you won and they surprise them at work and people like, I'm out, you know, and then all these years later.
The Publishers Clearinghouse Prize Patrol is just outside of Dallas in Irving, Texas to surprise Desiree Scudder with $1 million.
And that's not all. She's also getting $10,000 a year for life.
Nope.
And $1,000 cash on the spot because she's a PCH super fan. So on top of the million, you're also getting $10,000 a year for life and $1,000 cash on the spot.
Well, $10,000 a year for life until 2025.
Right. Yes. They weren't expecting you to live this long.
Which is one reason why I say take the lump sum payment. Take the lump sum payment. You know, because the argument for taking the yearly or the whatever payout, like in your lottery winnings, is, you know, well, if you screw up real bad, you'll still get more money next year.
Yeah.
How much do you trust the government to still be there? I suppose if the lottery fails, we got bigger problems is also another way you can look at that. But especially from something like this, you know, hey, I didn't know they could go bankrupt. Well, they did. So tough. Also, you may not realize Publishers Clearinghouse just hasn't done that well lately because who buys magazines?
Exactly.
I mean,
who checks
anybody?
The mail?
They were revenuing $854 million in 2017, down to $182 million in 2023. So that's like a 60% drop, almost maybe 70%. At the time of the bankruptcy filing, somewhere between $50 million and $100 million in liabilities. So, yeah, total assets between $1 million and $10 million, which is not going to pay the winners.
No.
So there you go. In fact, its filing listed the 10 prize winners as 20 of their largest unsecured creditors.
Oh, wow.
So you're like the bank that loaned them money by having not taken your lump sum payout or whatever. I don't even know if you had an option for that with them. Could you have?
I think so.
I would assume. Usually you can. Okay, anyway, let's see. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see if you're on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29. Starting to see some construction delays and congestion delays in that area. It's about a 7 to 9 minute delay. Also, Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola. We've got congestion delays there, about 5 to 7 minutes. And also Avalon Boulevard southbound headed toward I-10. Is about a 9 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, somebody texts in the good question about the Mandela effect. That's the collective belief that something is true that actually was not true. And their Mandela question is, was Ed McMahon ever with Publishers Clearinghouse? I think the answer.
Or just a spokesperson.
No. I think he was with a different entity, American Family or something like that. But one of the other Mandela effects is the did Ed McMahon ever show up with the check? And he says he did, and he says in the ad, I'll show up with the big poster board check or whatever. I just don't know that it was Publishers Clearinghouse. It might have been a different entity. So that's my knowledge. I did a little teeny bit of research on that prior, so that's I'm telling you a little bit I know. All right, 727 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. President Trump is in the UK for his second state visit right now. The King of England hosting a banquet for him and Melania at Windsor Castle later on today. The Menendez brothers' latest attempt at freedom has failed. A Los Angeles Superior Court judge has rejected Eric and Lyle Menendez's petition for a new trial. They claimed new evidence of sexual abuse at the hands of their father should have warranted a new trial. Both Menendez brothers have also been denied parole after hearings last month. And the founder of the Chinese company that makes Labubu dolls is out $6 billion in less than a month because demand for the dolls has apparently lost steam in China, sending their share prices down. Pop Mart International CEO Wang Ning now is, and you're going to shed a tear for him because he's now only worth $21.6 billion.
Yeah, things, I've heard of these things, and they sort of look, they're vaguely like a cross between Cabbage Patch Kids or dolls and the Where the Wild Things Are, the old, remember the kid in the fur outfit, you know, and he was a disruptive child. And Teletubbies? I don't know. There's somewhere in between all of that is where we get these dolls, these Labubu dolls.
Labubu.
I literally saw a story about them a while back, and I asked my wife, I said, have you ever even heard of this? She said, oh, yeah. So, okay. You know, I guess that's the thing.
About old, yeah.
Passed me on by, but, you know, there you go. What was his net worth in the end, David?
Well, he's only worth now $21.6
billion. God, who can even live on that?
He's going to have to, well.
He's going to have to start selling off jet skis and stuff to get by.
Right. At least he's not depending on his publisher's clearinghouse settlement.
Well, there's
to come
that
through.
Upside.
Yeah. Yeah, there is.
David, thanks for the update. 729 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, my God. That's great. New York City. Not the place we always look to for guidance and advice, but still kind of an interesting program. They have noise cameras installed in New York City. You say, how can there be a noise camera? It's designed to detect when too loud a noise in violation of their laws is made. And it basically looks like a sideline reporter who's trying to get audio for the TV station or the radio station. They've got that kind of boom.
That little dish.
Dish that you aim at somebody. It sort of looks like that, except it looks more like a steering wheel, black steering wheel than that. But it aims in a general area. And then if it registers a sound that's in violation of the ordinance, it will snap a photo. And you can get a ticket, like a red light camera. It is designed for loud cars. Honking cars, motorcycles, music blasting, you know, that kind of thing. It's not designed for, like, people who make a noise because it's going to capture your license plate and then it's going to be, given the recent efforts by PPD to crack down on loud noises downtown, yeah. Given the recent efforts in the city of Pensacola to go to red light cameras, I will ask tomorrow, and I might even ask our mayor whether they'd be considering something like this for some of your louder areas downtown.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Royal welcome at Windsor Castle for President Trump and First Lady Melania from King Charles and Queen Camilla, which included a carriage ride around the grounds of Windsor Castle and then the music blaring. When the President and King Charles inspected the King's guards. Besides festivities, there will be business on Trump's second state visit to the UK.
The UK wants to improve the trade deal the two countries announced back in May, especially the steel and aluminum tariffs, which are currently sitting at 25%. But industry leaders hope to slash the UK rate to zero. But reports were emerging last night that discussions on that issue had been shelved indefinitely.
Fox's Jackie Heinrich outside Windsor Castle. Death penalty on the table for Charlie Kirk's accused assassin, Tyler Robinson. That from the UTR County DA. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got sunshine, a beautiful morning, and it is 64 degrees. Here in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. The Pensacola State College Board of Trustees voting to end WSRE's longstanding affiliation with PBS at their meeting yesterday. That agreement had been in place since 1972. The board also voting to decertify WSRE as a direct support organization for the college.
Our recommendation is that we end our PBS affiliation at the end of this funding year. And that we optimize all available grant funding to support WSRE during this transition.
PSC President Dr. Ed Meadows from that meeting says some jobs at WSRE could be eliminated, but about half of their staff members might be able to transition to roles within the college. The decision following WSRE's loss of $1.5 million in funding this year. PBS programming and WSRE events will continue as planned until the end of June when the current budget expires. Now, 65th Avenue in Myrtle Grove will not be renamed in honor of conservative activist Charlie Kirk or Turning Point USA. That after a little bit of debate between residents and county commissioners at a meeting on Tuesday.
I request that you consider this motion to start a fire that the rest of the world sees, and historians will look back and see that the fire started here in Pensacola today.
Do not change the name of 65th. Fifth Avenue or any other street in this county to Charlie Kirk or the Turning Point USA. This county needs unity, not division.
And there were several public speakers against that change, a couple of them for it as well. In the end, Commissioner Mike Kohler, who was behind the idea, decided not to pursue the name change. He said the idea wasn't to force the change on anybody, but just to exemplify political tolerance. Now, Florida continues attracting skilled workers. That's the word from Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday, the state ranking first in Lightcast's 2024 Talent Attraction Scorecard. The report showing Florida is number one for attracting and developing a skilled workforce. The third straight year, Florida has now been ranked number one. And Governor DeSantis said it shows that the state's building a workforce that's ready for high demand and high wage careers. Got an update on the FSU football player that's recovering from a shooting in Tallahassee. Head coach Mike Norvell sharing an update on linebacker Ethan Pritchard yesterday. He says that he remains in the hospital in Tallahassee, but Norvell said he was able this last weekend to open his eyes. Norvell said Pritchard's family is with him and supporting him in the battle for his health. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you are on Lillian Highway in North Fairfield Drive, we've got an accident in that intersection. So just be careful with that. We're seeing some minor roadblocks. Also, Highway 29 and West Hope Drive. We've got the roadway blocked there with the vehicle accident with injuries and roadblock. First responders are on their way to that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather.
We do have a beautiful day in store for you today. Plenty of sunshine, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Going into Thursday, nice sunny weather, high near 89. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. For Friday, plenty of sunshine, high near 89. And by Friday night, temperatures dropping near 71. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we've got sunshine, 65 degrees across the area. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump has announced an agreement between the U.S. and China to keep TikTok operating in the United States. The White House has also extended the deadline for parent company ByteDance to sell or divest its U.S. business until December 16th to allow for another 90 days to finalize the deal. House Republicans have unveiled a spending bill that funds the government through mid-November and boosts lawmaker security but omits health care money sought by Democrats. The current spending bill expires on October 1st. Chinese tech giant Baidu saw its share soar nearly 16% this morning as it increasingly focuses on its artificial intelligence-related business that has also led to a ratings upgrade. The strong stock performance comes after Baidu earlier this week secured an AI-related deal with China Merchants Group, a major state-owned enterprise. Futures are mixed ahead of the Fed's interest rate decision later today. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials dropped 125, the NASDAQ down 14. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Daniel will not stop crying. I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday evening, join your friends at another gallery night in downtown Pensacola. This month's theme is is the Art of Hispanic Heritage. Visit Pensacola.com has more. Saturday morning, enjoy the dozens of vendors at Dr. Martin Luther King's Plaza and Plaza Ferdinand. Grab a freshly brewed coffee and a homemade treat while you take in Palafox Market from 9 till 2. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
If you just go on the public, on the property appraisers, and just start going down the, we own a lot of land. This is a lot of land that remains public into perpetuity. So it's a great thing. It's like having our own state park, city park. I mean, that's what we have essentially made, is a perpetual park here forever.
I think it's the largest, or at one point was the largest city park in Pensacola, and I'm sure it probably still is. So I was just thinking what you were saying. It's, when you look at it on the map, people get surprised at how big it really is.
That's city council members Jen Brer and Casey Jones at the city council meeting on Thursday talking about Bay Bluffs Park and how big it is. And I did the Jen Brer challenge. I went on the property appraisers map and looked it up. Oh my God, it's huge. It goes all the way from Summit down to like Mallory. It's enormous, that stretch of property. So, you know, it kind of made me think, well, you know, what could Bay Bluffs really be now that we're kind of going down this path of figuring it out? Joining us now, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you. So I know people have been talking about, you know, probably not going to have the scaffolding like we had before or have now, and it's dilapidated. Maybe not just a full primitive path kind of thing. But, I mean, that comment really got me thinking about, you know, what could be with this giant stretch of land that is maybe the largest city park potentially. You know, I mean, I think of the, you know, Greenway projects that we have possibles, and, you know, other cities and what they do, and Central Park. And, I mean, it's not going to be like that, but, you know, just it's, there's lots of possibilities here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And as the clip mentioned, you know, number one, part of this pledge and part of this funding was to ensure that it stays in the public realm forever. So, no mayor after me can change their mind or privatize it or anything like that. But number one, and even that was not a guarantee pre this. So that's a net benefit, of course, to our community, that it will stay in the public good forever. And then second to that, absolutely, we've got $2 million to reinvest into Bay Bluffs Park and get it open in some way. I have pledged to the community. And you know, I'll give you an inside look at my conversations in the building right now. I don't care if all we have is a notepad and a pen. We are having a meeting in October about Bay Bluffs Park. You know, so whether, because we've all been waiting, and I understand the impatience, and, you know, lots of time that's rooted in misunderstanding of how hard we've been working to make this happen, or that we had already received funding. But, you know, we had an 8-month delay between some state agencies that had nothing to do with us. We weren't dragging our feet. We were ready to go. And so I certainly understand the impatience. I would be impatient, too. I am impatient, too, about getting something going. And so if nothing else, next month we will have kind of that kickoff kind of listening session. We aren't going to present anything. We're not going to necessarily say, here's what we're going to do or not do, because we really don't know that yet. But we want to get everybody's ideas down and you know, prepare our engineers, our consultants, our architects with some preloaded with some of this feedback from the community. So I think one important point on this last thing, Andrew, is that, look, $2 million, as I said in the meeting, this is not going to build a community center. Right. This is not, you know, we're going to have to temper the palatial ideas that we may have about what we could do with $2 million. Nothing says that in the future we couldn't get more funding to do more things. But I think what our goal is here is to get this back as a public amenity, and do it in the most efficient way that we can. And so I think it's going to be lots of primitive trails, like you said, but that doesn't mean there wouldn't be some place to picnic, some place to have an overlook, you know, those types of things. You know, we're going to just do the best that we can to kind of glue that experience together and make sure that it's not only something you can enjoy now, but something that won't see the same fate in 5 or 10 years that it did since I've been there.
Are we also, do we expect there to be a full demolition of the existing boardwalk and stairs, or is some of that going to be salvaged, or is that still to be determined because of cost and like sustainability?
Yeah, I wouldn't say any of that is final, except I can tell you just off the cuff with our building official, and this is, of course, the decisions that were slapped on my desk, unfortunately, a couple of years ago, which is, I think the boardwalks themselves that go down the bluff, those are going to be difficult to keep, just because even if a section of it is good, let's say, I mean, if you go back and read the archives, the articles of what it took to even put those pilings in,
yeah,
40 years ago, I mean, I couldn't even imagine the engineering, the cost with only $2 million. So I don't think it would be a realistic expectation to say that there's going to be a large-scale raised boardwalk type of feature all the way through the park. Now, I think some of those landings up top are in okay shape. So I think there's some scenarios there where up top, or maybe we build a new kind of lookout that's up top that's ADA compliant,
yeah,
where you can kind of overlook the water, something like that. So keeping and adding on to those kind of street grade pavilions, I think it has a chance, but I don't see any financial feasibility or logistical feasibility of having the same situation that we had before, which is all of those being on raised paths or raised boardwalks.
And as you say, I mean, if it's not the whole thing, you probably can't have any of it, because, you know, it doesn't do much good to have it's here and then it's in the middle, there's nothing in there after that. So
right.
Hey, we're talking to Mayor D.C.
doesn't really help us.
Right. Talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. We'll be back with him in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're on 9th Avenue and Underwood Avenue, we've got a vehicle crash with roadblock that just happened. So the roadway is blocked on 9th Avenue. Also, Highway 29 and West Hope Drive. We're seeing a roadway blocked there on Highway 29. So just be careful. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Obviously, you were present when the various religious folks came, the, you know, very conservative churches came and protested the Christmas drag queen show at the Sanger Theater. I heard what Adam Cobb said, that it is both a violation of the contract and at this point it would be a content-based restriction. There would be a violation of the First and 14th Amendment. We've had a lot of conversation about that on the show. But they tell me that they are going to continue. They're going to show back up and protest again because they want to get this thing stopped. Your comments to the community? I know you didn't say a lot on Thursday.
Yeah, well, first of all, anybody can come to any meeting and share anything that they want. And so certainly, you know, every citizen has that right to do it. You know, I sat and, you know, heard all of those arguments, the discussions. You know, some more, I believe, more measured than others. But at the end of the day, we will do what we continue to do, which is at the end of the day, AFM is our operator, and they make nothing comes across my desk or our desk about what should or shouldn't be at the Sanger, nor would that make any sense for city government to be making those decisions, both operationally and constitutionally. So we have an operator that does that, and we continue to defer any critiques, criticisms, questions to them. As a matter of fact, I'll be on a call with the national folks later this week to convey my expectation that you do whatever you want to do. But at the end of the day, this was an ASM decision, whether you like it or you don't like it. And so that needs to be deferred to ASM, and they need to say whatever they want to say. But I don't know that it's necessarily fair to put any onus on city government that has absolutely no contractual or constitutional ability to pick winners and losers on what should or shouldn't happen in the Sanger Theater, and give off this false presumption that we have more authority over that than we actually do. So So I plan on having that discussion with them later this week as well, and making sure that they are conveying that to our community.
Can we also just clarify one thing? Because one of the arguments I've heard is that, you know, it's my tax dollars that are going for this, some of them will say. And, of course, my response is, well, okay, but, you know, the pagans have tax dollars too. And it's not obvious that the Christians' tax dollars are more important than the pagans' tax dollars. But I have been told that none of that might be relevant because the Sanger actually doesn't receive money. It's a net neutral or even maybe revenues for this. Can you just clarify the money part of it?
Yeah, that's correct. As a matter of fact, yes, it runs at least net neutral, if not receiving revenue. And forget this controversial issue. Take a step back. Why would we be paying an operator to be losing money on this consistently that the taxpayers had to subsidize? You know, we'd probably be looking for another operator. So,
you haven't heard of the Bay Center,
you know,
then?
The whole idea is, well, you have to ask them. But
not to jump topics, but you know, facility, go ahead.
Yeah, but this facility runs at that. It actually every ticket you buy actually it also is taxpayers, whether you like who the taxpayer is or agree with their beliefs or not. Also helps fund a portion of the ticket helps fund capital improvements as well. So you could even go a step further and say, actually, some of the capital improvements that would be quote unquote city taxpayer dollars are being generated by anybody who buys a ticket, not necessarily the other way around, where city taxpayer dollars are going in to fund capital improvements. So there's really two layers of ultimately the user is helping fund whatever ticket, whatever religion, whatever belief you have, whoever's buying a ticket for to whatever show. Whether it's a comedy or it's anything, those dollars are going to actually help with a capital fund for improvements of the Sanger.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about, and pardon me, but I was listening to the city council meeting and then the discussion of the pallet shelters and the deal and the how long in the deal and what the revenue limits were on, you know, charging people for occupancy and all of that stuff. I guess I hadn't really thought it through. I had been operating under the impression that the agencies that were going to be using the pallet shelters were just going to be providing them for people, that it wasn't. But I can see why they would charge. Okay, there's all kinds of elements there. But how will the money work? You know, the city owns them. The entities like Reentry Alliance and Offensive are then going to kind of oversee them. But the people using them are going to pay them like a daily rent. How does the money work?
So very customary in low barrier shelters and in other homeless eviction initiatives. It is more common than not that think about the pallet shelter in terms of the phases of getting someone off the street. The pallet shelter is not where you go the first night you come off the street, right? There's other facilities that you would be going to, other parts of these same facilities that you'd be going to as you enter into the program.
Okay, so that's it's not intake. It's not low barrier shelter replacement. Okay, I got you. Go ahead.
But what it is it's inventory replacement to allow more capacity for people to come in, because the idea of pallet shelters is you're starting to get independence. You have a case manager, someone that's helping you get a job, okay. All of that. So it's more about accountability than it is about revenue. It's kind of say, hey, you've been here 3-4 months. This isn't meant for you to be here for a year. But the idea is you've been working with your case manager. We've got you on your feet. You now have a job. And part of the accountability of having a job is you might pay $5 a night or you might pay $3 a night. And because the idea is getting you ready to go back into out of the shelter and back into the world where you're going to be accountable to rent and things like that. So that's not unique to these two programs. It is very, very common with any type of multi-step case management and or homeless reduction approach to handle it that way. So okay. I know that for people who don't follow that closely, I've got several questions about that. Like, well, why would you charge somebody who is? Well, remember, this is the phase two. This is we've gotten you on your feet. And again, these are truly meant to be transitional. They don't have a bathroom in them. They're 70 square feet. I mean, it's a bed, it's an air conditioner, it's got a roof over your head. So it gives these folks some independence now that they've kind of got on their feet a little bit. But these are not designed for you to be staying in for 6 months or a year.
And I know that's
still transitional housing.
Yeah, that's how I had originally thought of them, as this is the low barrier shelter option. You can't put somebody in the general population of the shelter, so you put them in here. To understand that that's not what they're designed for, I appreciate that clarification. I guess the one thing that I also sort of wondered about was, if the city owns and is leasing to these entities with all kinds of controls and limits and they're revenuing off of them, it just seems like an odd arrangement for them to be revenuing off of it if they do. And why would the city not get a share of that revenue? But I'm sure their cost to operate is.
Well, generally, Andrew, on that, it's easy to explain. On that, the amount of money to case manage this and to operate these facilities is multi-millions of dollars a year.
Yeah.
Whatever revenue would come off any of these would be a fraction of a fraction of what it takes to actually run them. It's almost like a community center. If you rent a community center in the city for $100 or $50 or whatever, that doesn't pay our light bill. That doesn't pay our air conditioning bill. It's more of just, hey, this helps offset some costs. There's no world in which either of these organizations are going to be, quote unquote, profiting off of any type of revenue there.
That makes sense.
It's only going to help feed services. And they are required as part of having these talent shelters to have case management and to have wraparound services available as well.
Makes sense. And as you say, it's really designed more as a benefit to the user to have this accountability than it is as a revenue stream. So I appreciate that. We always, a great day. I mean, you had a lot of wins at City Council. You know, trees are getting planted, the Bay Bluffs, the, land development code updates, the spending cap. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happened, and the pallet shelters. I thought that, they yayed a couple of times, and I thought they should have even yayed a little bit more. All right, a couple of lighter topics, the lightning round. Does Mayor D.C. Reeves make his bed every single day?
With some assistance.
The bed gets made, is that the way you want to say it?
Yes, right. It might be a 80-20 Sydney split. Sydney, D.C. But does it get made? The answer is yes.
All right, very good. Do you make corn on the cob? Are you the cook who cooks corn on the cob? If so, what's your method?
I'm just a classic, give me a big pot and boil.
Salt, sugar, butter, lemon juice, anything in the water?
I don't eat mayonnaise. I don't want anything crazy. Just, give me some butter and salt. I'm pretty vanilla like that.
And is there any ordinary thing in the world that still just kind of amazes you? Examples I use were things like, I think aluminum foil is amazing. And I think, the ordinary pencil is kind of amazing. Is there any technology, even if it's light technology, that you look at and kind of like, wow, that's kind of wild?
That's a big one. I can't think of any. I did use some aluminum foil last night, and it didn't amaze me quite to the level of you. So one that doesn't amaze me. doesn't amaze me that much in 2025.
I can look at almost anything and be fascinated by it. So,
I assume you're setting me up to say how amazing the red light camera technology that we have is.
There was no setup involved whatsoever. And we didn't even get to talk about the noise cameras that New York City is installing that can, give a ticket out on the basis of hearing the noise violation from the car going by. But I'm sure Councilwoman Patton will be all over that as soon as she finds out about it. Mayor D.C. Reeves, as always, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
All right, thank you.
All right, John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. Still dealing with the accident that happened on 9th Avenue and Underwood Avenue. We're seeing some major delays on 9th Avenue. Also, Highway 29 and West Hope Drive going southbound. You're going to see some major delays. Traffic is backed up all the way to 9 Mile. So my advice is take an alternate route associated with that. Let's see here. I-10 eastbound. Between 9 Mile and Pine Forest through a construction zone, seeing some delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money. And called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
eBay has reinvented vehicle buying. From click to curb, everything's covered. Ever try to buy a car online and end up in a parking lot with a stranger and some blind trust? That era is over. Now with Secure Purchase, eBay isn't just where you find your car. It's where you buy it, start to finish. Title, financing, registration, delivery, it's all built in. This is the modern way to buy your next ride on eBay. eBay. Things people love. Secure Purchase is powered by Caramel Dealer Services, LLC, an eBay subsidiary.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What do you mean bad?
Try to imagine all life as you know it stopping instantaneously and every molecule in your body exploding at the speed of light.
Total protonic reversal.
All right, that's bad. Okay. All right, important safety tip. Thanks, Egon.
Not cross the stream. 7:59 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne might have a headline for us in the newsroom. David?
Definitely never cross the stream.
There you go. That's a good headline. Yeah,
that would be bad. I do have a headline for you, though. President Trump is making his second state visit to the UK. They are having... He'll be visiting the tomb of Lake King.
Stream us at News Radio 92.3.